Okay. Well, I have a few things to share. I want to share tonight about on a topic that honestly I think is not a real popular topic in churches today. It's either, you know, it's mentioned a lot, but I don't think it's really discussed very much. And honestly, I think that whenever it is mentioned, a lot of times people feel really guilty and they feel really bad. And that topic is prayer. And I think that a lot of times people, they don't really want to hear about prayer because maybe they don't understand exactly what they're supposed to be doing, you know, how they're supposed to be praying. But also I think that people feel guilty a lot of times because they don't think they spend enough time in prayer. They don't feel like they are living up to, I don't know, something, some kind of preconceived notion that they have, or maybe something that a preacher or a person of God has told them, and they don't feel like they measure up to that. And so a lot of times people shy away from prayer. But it is, if not, it might be the most important part of our walk with God. Because without prayer and without communication with God, we're not going to grow, and we're not going to learn more about who He is and who He wants to be to us. You know, a lot of times people think of prayer as some sort of like a religious ritual, you know, something that you do almost like penance or something. You know, if I spend this much time in prayer, then, you know, God will be happy with me and it'll be okay. You know, he'll protect me from this and this and this if I spend this much time in prayer. And that's just not right. That's a wrong way of seeing prayer. You know, prayer is simply communicating with God. It's us talking to Him and having a relationship with Him in our own way. You know, I compare prayer a lot to relationships, because that's what it is. It's a relationship with God and it's a communication with God. And I've thought a lot about, you know, Chris and I, we have a relationship and we talk on a regular basis. And if we have a day or even a weekend where we're both really, really busy and we're not able to sit down and talk, you know, maybe we go throughout the day and he is working, you know, and I'm taking care of the kids and this doesn't happen very often at all, but, you know, we go to bed and we haven't really had any communication. Well, the next day, it would be really, really silly for me to be so embarrassed and to feel so guilty about not having spent any time with him, for me to avoid him and just not talk to him and, you know, just kind of stay on the other side of the room, you know, and just be embarrassed. That's not how we would deal with a natural, you know, relationship that we would have on the earth. I would go to him and say, "Man, I have missed you. I am so sorry that, you know, yesterday was so crazy. I've missed you. Let's talk." And that's how it should be with us and God. You know, we shouldn't, you know, whenever we miss some time with him, we shouldn't let it make us feel bad or like we're doing something wrong. We just need to go back to him and say, "Hey, I've missed you. Let's pick up where we left off, you know, let's talk, let's visit, let's communicate." But I think that a lot of times the enemy makes us feel bad, like we are some sort of a bad Christian if we don't spend, you know, at least an hour a day in the morning. And I think it's good, before I keep saying what I'm going to say, I think it's very important for us to have a time where we sit and we have no other distractions. We don't have anything else coming at us, and we just sit in the presence of God and we talk to him and we discuss with him, you know, and we worship him. I think that's very, very, very important. It's very important. You know, Chris and I have our times where we get rid of distractions and we sit, just the two of us, and we talk. So those times are very, very important. But that's not the only time we talk and we visit, you know. If that would be kind of weird, that would be a really weird relationship, you know, if I had something I needed to say to him and it was in the middle of the day and I had to wait till the next morning, you know, when it was our time to talk, for me to talk to him. That's not a natural relationship either, you know, just having this one block of time and that's it. But I think that people see prayer like that, and it becomes this box that they have to fit into, and they have to figure out how, okay, how does brother so-and-so pray? Okay, I need to pray exactly like that. Well, that works great for brother so-and-so probably, but it might not work great for you or for me. You know, my relationship with Chris is different from my relationship with my kids, from my relationship with other people, because we're two different people. And so I think it's really, really important that we place a priority on talking to God and realize that it's a communication that's supposed to happen all the time. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says that we are supposed to pray without ceasing. And that verse used to really, really bother me because I know the word is true, and I know that he wouldn't tell me to do something if I couldn't do it, but I could not figure out how in the world am I supposed to pray without ceasing. I mean, I have kids, I have stuff I'm supposed to be doing, and so as I began to read over that and think about it and just pray in the Spirit and really meditate on that, I realized that what he's meaning by that is that it should be something that we're doing constantly. It should be something, and he showed me it's kind of like breathing. You know, we breathe all the time. In fact, if we stop breathing, we're going to die. That's just the bottom line. And so praying needs to be like breathing to us. We don't keep a log of how many breaths we've taken. We don't, you know, write down, okay, I breathed for an hour this morning, so that's good. I'm doing good. No, that's just something that we do. Sometimes we do sit and just breathe. I know I have to sometimes, you know, but we're not picky and keeping a log about our breathing. That's not what we do. It's something we do all day long, even all night long. We don't necessarily even pay attention to the fact that we're breathing. Sometimes we do, but not always. And prayer needs to be like that. Prayer needs to be something that happens all the time, all day long. We need to do it, you know, in our quiet time and the time that we're with him. But I think if that's the only time we pray and talk to God, that's not really a fresh and new moving relationship, because we live life the rest of the time. And it's important that we continue to be praying. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, behold, God is talking and he says, behold, I make all things new. He's always making things new. He's always doing new things. And so it's important that we are always talking to him, that we're always building a relationship with him, that he's always a part of everything that we're doing, instead of putting him in a box and saying, okay, this is your time, this is what you get, and this is all. And then I got to go and live my life. And I think that's what people think praying is. I think that's kind of the picture that we've somehow gotten in our minds. Maybe pastors or teachers have painted that picture for us. I have no idea. But that's kind of the way it's become for a lot of people. And they don't understand that it's a moving relationship that we are supposed to have. And I think that once we realize how powerful prayer really is, it will be something that we want to do all the time, that we want to continually do it. James 5:6 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I don't know if it's up there. I may not have given that to him. I'm going to look it up in the Amplified really fast. James 5. Huh? 16. Sorry, 5:16. Did I give you that one? Oh, yeah, the second half of it. Okay. The second half says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And in the Amplified, did I have you do the Amplified? That's okay. I did. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and is dynamic in its working. So that saying, you know, it has to be heartfelt, but the continued prayer, you know, continual all day long of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and it's dynamic in its working. I don't think that we really fully understand with our natural minds, and maybe we might not ever be able to understand the power that's available to us when we spend time in prayer, whenever we pray, spend time in the presence of God. I think we can definitely understand it a little more than we do, but I'm not sure that our natural mind can actually completely comprehend how awesome and powerful it is for us to pray and for us to pray continually. I was talking to a friend, this was a while ago, and I was talking about how we're supposed to pray without ceasing and how we're supposed to continually pray. And at that point she had 3 kids. Now she has 5. And, she was saying, I don't understand how you could do that. How can you pray without ceasing and like continually pray? I can think of a good handful of things to pray about, but eventually I think I would run out of things to pray about. I think that I would be done. And so I had a short answer for her, just like, well, no, you don't understand. You know, that was kind of all that I said. But as I went back and started to think about that, I thought, you know, I think that people don't understand that there's not just one thing. We don't just pray in one way. You know, prayer is not only about me saying, God, I need your help with this. I need this. I need this. I feel like I'm going crazy. I need some more money. You know, all of these things. There are actually a lot of different types of prayers and ways that we pray that are actually maybe more important than those prayers where we bring those petitions before God. And once we realize that there really are a lot of different prayers and a lot of different ways to pray, it really doesn't make pray without ceasing seem very difficult. You can really understand how that could be pretty easy to keep, you know, to pray without ceasing, keep on praying. And so, I have just a few different prayers, or different types of prayer that I have found, in different verses and stuff. It's not like there's a list in the Bible. These are the types of prayers or anything like that. And this definitely isn't, these are not the only kinds. These are just some that I have come up with and in my reading and stuff like that in different verses. But they're very important parts. They're very important in our prayers. And so I just want to share some of them with you because I think whenever we realize how many different types of prayers there are, it makes it way easier for us to pray without ceasing and continually be mindful of who God is and who he wants to be to us. So the first kind that I want to talk about is a prayer of praise and worship. And to me, this is a hugely important type of prayer. Whenever I have my my quiet time, my time where I shut everything out and I spend time just with him alone, this is what I start off with. I start off with this type of prayer and then I end with this type of prayer because I think it's really important. It takes my focus off of me and off of what I'm going through or what I'm dealing with, and it shifts the focus to him and to what he's doing and to who he is. And it's really a faith builder, you know, whenever we start focusing on his goodness. I would like to read Hebrews 13:15. I'm just going to read it up here. That's easier. It says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And in the Amplified, it says, "Through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name." So this verse is talking about a sacrifice of praise. You know, a lot of the time, especially when we're walking through a storm or going through something difficult, it really is a sacrifice for us to praise him and to worship him and offer him the praise whenever we're going through something difficult. But it's really, really important that we do that. And, you know, praise and worship, a lot of times those are seen as interchangeable, you know, and maybe they are. But this is kind of what I've thought about as the difference between praise and worship. And maybe, you know, y'all might have different definitions for praise and worship. But to me, praise is recounting the goodness of God, almost like telling a story of the good things that he's done for me. You know, I go through and I recount the awesome things that he's done in the Bible and in my life. And I praise him for doing those things. In Psalm 150 verse 2, it says that we should praise him for his mighty acts and praise him according to his excellent greatness. It's important that we recall his mighty acts, the awesome things that he's done, not just in the Bible, but also in our lives. I have a journal that I haven't read and I haven't written in actually in a while because I forgot about it actually, but, I tell different stories of the ways that God has come through for Chris and for me in just in the 12 years that we've been married. I recount different miracles that he's done in our finances, you know, in our relationship, in our kids' lives and things like that. And it's very important that we remember and that we praise him for those things that he's done for us. Because it builds our faith and it helps us know, you know what, he took care of us then. He's going to take care of me now. And it's really good to build our faith that way. And then also to worship him. To me, worship is simply just adoring him for who he is. You know, he's good. He's faithful. He's just. He's righteous. He's holy. And it's important that we just love on him for who he is. It's really, I think that that's a very important part of a prayer time. And this is a really easy one, an easy type of prayer that we can do all day long. You know, it doesn't need to stop right there in our quiet time, but it's very easy for it to go all day long, you know, to praise him. I've been known to be at the grocery store and find a roast, you know, 50% off and say, "Oh, praise you, Jesus. You are faithful. You are good to me. You're my provider. You know, I got this roast and it's cheaper than I thought, you know," and I don't really think much about it. People around me probably do, but you know, that's okay. But it's important. It doesn't seem weird to me because I have a relationship with him. He's God and he's my savior, you know, and I love him and I talk to him all the time. The next type of prayer goes along with that really well. And sometimes they mix together and that's a prayer of thanksgiving. And, you know, a lot of times I praise him and thank him at the same time, you know, but it's really important. It's important for us to be thankful and to have a thankful heart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And in the Amplified, it says, "Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God, for who you are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will." This verse tells us that it's really important for us to be thankful. It says to thank him in everything. Now, it doesn't say that we have to thank him for everything. You know, if I've gotten the flu, God didn't give me the flu. you know, so I don't necessarily need to thank him for the flu, but in that flu, I can definitely thank him for some things. I can thank him that he sent his son to heal me, you know, of the flu. I can thank him that I have a nice comfy bed to lay in until I receive my healing. I can thank him that I have, you know, blankets to cover up with. You know, it's important for us to be thankful and to focus, especially when we're going through something that's difficult, especially when we're in the middle of a storm. It's really, really important that we focus on what we are thankful for. All through the Psalms, over and over and over and over, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Thanks, oh, give thanks unto the Lord," over and over and over and over. It's important that we have a thankful heart, and in the middle of something that might seem really difficult and even dark, it's important for us to look and find something that we can be thankful for. I had a pastor's wife quite a few years ago. She was preaching one time, and she told the story about how when she was a little girl, if ever she was complaining about anything, she would go to her mom and be upset about something, and her mom would say, "You know what? No matter what you're going through, there is always somebody else that has it worse than you do. So you need to just be thankful that it's not worse." And she said that she would always go off and she would sit, you know, and think, "Okay, so if I had a broken arm, that would mean that there's somebody else in the world that has two broken arms. Oh man, that would be terrible. Okay. And if I had two broken arms, that would mean somebody else has two broken arms and a broken leg. Oh man, that would be just terrible. But if I had, you know," and she would just keep imagining all these, you know, "okay, if my life was this bad, that would mean somebody else's would be this bad." And, you know, it was a cute little story, you know, that she would tell, but it was important because she learned how to focus on what she was thankful for, you know. And as a little girl, that made a big impact in her life. And so it's really very important for us to have a thankful heart. And again, this is one that we can do all day long, like breathing. You know, we can thank God, "Oh, thank you, Father, for my car. It might not be the car that I would pick out on the lot, but I thank you that it runs, that it's got good tires on it, that it gets me, you know, from point A to point B. Father, I thank you for it." Or, "I thank you, you know, that I have shoes. I thank you," you know, it's important for us to be thankful. And that's a really important part of prayer. Another type of prayer is, this one is, I hate to say one of my favorites because, you know, but is praying in the Spirit. And, you know, my mom says sometimes, "I think God invented praying in the Spirit for moms." And, you know, I don't, you know, he invented, that's kind of a weird word, but, you know, it's for everybody. But, you know, as moms, we pick up on things sometimes, and we know we need to pray. We're not always sure exactly what we need to pray for, but we know we need to pray. And, praying in the Spirit is a really helpful part of that. In Jude, there's only one chapter, but in verse 20, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." I really love how the Amplified says it because it adds a little bit of explanation to it. It says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit." So as we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are actually building ourselves up. We're actually building up our spirit man. I tell my kids a lot, you know, you need to pray in the Spirit a lot because that's just like lifting weights for your spirit man. And you might be, you know, 4 feet tall, and little, but the more you pray in the Spirit, the stronger your spirit man becomes. And maybe your spirit man looks like a bodybuilder, and maybe, you know, to the devil, maybe you look like you could beat him bad. You know, it's important that we build ourselves up on our most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. And you know, praying in the Spirit is not only when we don't know what to pray. We need to pray that, anyway, just having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But a lot of the time when we don't know what to pray, praying in the Spirit really does help us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So a lot of times we might not necessarily know what we are needing to pray for. You know, if there's a situation and we're not exactly sure what is going on in that situation, praying in the Spirit is very, very helpful. You know, I had a friend who just a couple of weeks ago, she texted me and she said, "I don't know what's happening. Something is happening with my son at school. I don't know what's going on. I need you to pray right now." We had no idea if it was health, you know, what was going on. But we just prayed in the Spirit and we prayed until that thing lifted. And he came home and we found out later, you know, that he was dealing with a bully at school and we didn't know, but we were able to pray for that with him without even knowing, you know, what was going on. And I think it's praying in the Spirit is such a cool, I want to say concept, but you know, I don't really have the words because God, He's just so cool to have created that for us. I want to read it's a status update basically that I read just this morning. I had already prepared this and planned to read this verse and everything. And I read this today on, I don't know if y'all have heard of Rick Renner. Do y'all know who Rick Renner is? Maybe? No? All right. Well, he's a really awesome man of God. He actually lives in, I think he lives in Russia. He has a church in Russia, but, this is what he posted this morning. He says, "Let me give you a little more to chew on regarding the Holy Spirit's help in our prayer life. Romans 8:26 begins, 'Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought.' That word helpeth is extremely important because it conveys the idea of a real partnership and cooperation, and it paints the picture of two individuals working together to get the job done. The Greek word translated helpeth is actually a compound of three different Greek words. The first word is son, meaning to do something in conjunction with someone else. The second word is anti, which means against. The third word is lambano, maybe. We'll say that's how you say it. Lambano, which means to take or to receive. When these three words are joined, the new word, sunanti lambano, maybe that's how you say it, means to take hold of something with someone else, gripping it together as tightly as possible and throwing your combined weight against it to move it out of the way. So this tells us that the Holy Spirit literally bears the responsibility for our infirmities, becoming one with us in the task of removing every obstacle. In the midst of our weakness, when we are inadequate to get the job done, the Holy Spirit comes and says, 'Let me grab a hold of that hindrance with you, and you and I will push against it together until it's completely moved out of your way.' In this way, prayer becomes a twofold partnership between you and the Holy Spirit. When that really becomes a revelation to your heart, and when you realize that your prayers are not something you're responsible for alone, it will forever change your prayer life." Isn't that cool? Isn't that an awesome way of seeing that scripture? I had never seen it that way before, you know, but that's the word helpeth. That's what that means is, you know, when I get this picture of me grabbing on to something and the Holy Spirit joining up with me, I'm not doing it by myself. And I'm not just sitting back pleading with him to take care of something for me. When I pray in the Spirit, he's actually joining up and doing it with me. And we're both going forward and there's not anything that can stand in his way, you know? And so that really, that's such a cool thing. You know, whenever we see praying in the Spirit like that. When I was younger, I used to kind of see praying in the Spirit as, well, that's just kind of what you do if you don't know what to do. You know, you just do that. But it's way more powerful than that. It's way more important than that. It's actually engaging with the Holy Spirit and joining up as a team to take something on. And it's really a very exciting thing. And so I'm not going to say that's the most important type of prayer or anything, but that's one of my favorites. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's one of my favorite ways to pray because there is a lot of power to that. And it's really fun. It's very exciting. Let me see. I'm going to skip down, Ryan. Sorry. I'm going to move to a different one, but, because this one goes along with that. And this next type of prayer is a prayer of intercession. And a lot of times this is used together with praying in the Spirit. And it's really an important type of prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. So this verse tells us that we need to be praying and interceding for all men. It's important that we intercede. Interceding simply means standing in the gap, being the go-between, between God and someone else. And it's very important. A really cool picture of intercession is the story in the Old Testament about Abraham when he's talking to God and God's telling him, hey, I got to tell you something. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because it's just evil. It's terrible. And Abraham talks to God, and I can't remember the number he starts off with. Does he start off with 50 men, I think? If he says, God, how about if you find 50 righteous men in that city, will you spare the city for 50 righteous men? And God says, sure. Yeah, I'll do that. And he goes on and he works his way down. Every time it kind of makes me laugh. He gets nervous that God's going to get mad at him and says, okay, please don't get mad at me. But what about 20 men? Or I don't remember how the increments, but he gets down to, is it 5 or 10? I don't remember. I think it's 10. Yeah. He gets down to, 10 people, and God says, sure, I'll save the city for that many righteous people. And then he stops. He stops interceding for that city. And I really think, the Bible doesn't say this, but according to the pattern that's been going on in that story, I really think if he had kept going to one righteous man, God would have saved that city for just Lot. For just that one man, but Abraham stopped. He didn't keep interceding. And, that makes me kind of sad, whenever I think about that. Because not only did that wicked city, it was destroyed, but Lot's wife died in the process of that. Because, she was going to be saved, but she turned around and looked, and she became a pillar of salt. So, I'm not saying it's Abraham's fault that she died, but I think there's a good possibility that he could have saved the city and Lot from that kind of heartache, had he interceded. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, this is a really kind of a sad verse to me, but it says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. So God, is looking. He's waiting for us to stand in the gap and to be someone who can speak on behalf of someone who doesn't have a voice and who can't talk. I told God a couple of years ago, God, I really want to be someone you can depend on. I really want to be somebody that if you ever talk to me and tell me I need to pray for someone, that I will do it. That's my goal. I want to be someone that can do that. You know, and I've thought about that many times, the story about Lot and how maybe he could have saved all of those people. And so it's really important that we are listening and paying attention to the Holy Spirit. I've had a lot of different times when I'm driving down the street or I'm sitting at a restaurant and the Holy Spirit shows me a person sitting, you know, at a table, you know, somewhere else in the restaurant. Or I can remember one time driving down the street and I saw a woman in her front yard and all she was doing was watering her garden or her flowers in her front yard. And the Holy Spirit told me, pray for her, pray for them. And so I just, you know, start to pray for them. I'm not sure what I pray for, you know, pray in the Spirit for a little while. And then he will tell me some things to pray in English. And so I pray those in English and then I keep praying in the Spirit. But I've thought a few times, what if I'm the only person praying for them right now? What if I don't pray and I don't listen, what if that's the only chance they get for someone to be praying for them? And that puts a lot of weight on intercession and on praying for people, you know. And there have been times when I, you know that I need to pray. I don't know who I'm praying for. I have no idea what's going on, but I know I need to pray. And I still, you know, sometimes don't know. Maybe I was praying for a missionary in China who was about to be attacked by some, you know, by the government. I have no idea. But it's really, really important that we make a commitment to stand in the gap for people who they don't have a voice, you know, or maybe they do have a voice, but they need someone to stand with them. They need someone to join up with them and, help them in their, in whatever it is that they're facing. So, a prayer of intercession is a really important prayer, and it goes along very nicely with praying in the Spirit, because a lot of times we don't exactly know what it is that we're supposed to pray. And sometimes the Holy Spirit does show us, sometimes he doesn't. And so it's really, those two work really nicely together as well. Let me see. A couple of other ones are the prayer of agreement. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, it says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That's a really cool promise. That's really exciting to me because, you know, he promises to be there whenever two or more of us are gathered together in his name. That's awesome. And, you know, it's really important for us to understand that the prayer of agreement is very powerful. And it goes along with the, I'm trying to go a little bit faster here. It goes along with the next type of prayer, which is corporate prayer. Both of those have to do with agreement. The prayer of agreement is usually a smaller number. A corporate prayer is usually a larger number. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So they were all joined together. This is in the upper room. They were joined together in one accord. All through the book of Acts, it talks about them praying in one accord. And as I was thinking about this morning, about this corporate prayer and the prayer of agreement, I realized, you know what? When they got together to pray together in Acts, them joining together, all these separate people joining together with one mind and one heart, that ushered in the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's really powerful. That's a very powerful way to pray. And so I think about our times on Saturday whenever we walk and we pray in the neighborhood. It's really, I think it's more strategic and it's more important than we realize. Because here we are, a bunch of individuals with individual lives and individual things that we're dealing with. we're joining together and becoming one of heart and one of mind and going forward and praying together for a specific thing. And it's very powerful and very important. And so I think we're going to see some awesome things take place because of that prayer of agreement that's happening on Saturdays. And I'll just do one more prayer. And this one is a prayer of silence. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20 says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Whenever I talk about a prayer of silence, I'm not meaning us sitting there and saying our prayers quietly in our mind, because I think it's very important that we speak with our mouth, that we speak our prayers out before the Lord. But what I think this verse is talking about and what a prayer of silence is us just being quiet and listening to what he has to say. You know, prayer can't always be, you know, me talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. It's important for me to sit and be quiet and listen. You know, my dad teases me sometimes because I have a lot of prophetic, maybe not a lot, but I have some prophetic dreams. And he talks to me sometimes in dreams and I see things and he said, "Well, you know, maybe if you didn't talk so much, God wouldn't have to wait till you're asleep before he could show you those things. Maybe you should sit there with your mouth closed for a little bit and maybe it would help you." And maybe he's right. I don't know. This one is sometimes difficult for me, though, because, I do like to talk, especially to God, you know, and visit with him. But it's important that we sit and that we be quiet and we listen to hear what he has to say. And, I was thinking earlier about the last time I was able to share on Wednesday night. I talked about those miracles that they did, on Azusa Street and those awesome things that took place. And then I started thinking about Smith Wigglesworth and the miracles that he did. You know, that one time that he kicked the baby off the stage into its mother's arms, and as it flew through the air, it grew its arms and legs and landed, the mama caught the baby, and he had his arms and legs. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, oh my goodness, that would be, I mean, you would really have to know that you're hearing the voice of God, you know, to do something like that. And the Holy Spirit told me that's why it's important for you to spend time in my presence and for you to spend time listening and paying attention to the things that I'm trying to say to you. Because the time is coming where we are going to need to hear him very clearly, to know exactly what steps to take. You know, when we're out ministering to people, we're going to need to know very specifically the things that he wants us to do in praying for them and in ministering to them. And if we haven't taken the time to develop a relationship with him where we hear him and we know what he's saying, we're not going to be able to do that. And so that's why I think that he wanted me to share a little bit about prayer tonight, because it really is very important. And especially as we move into, I think we're already in, you know, the end times, if, you know, we're at least getting closer all the time. And I think that according to the Bible, things are going to start getting worse out there, you know, in the world. And if we don't have a relationship with God and we're not building a communication with him, we're not going to know what to do. We're not going to know how to handle different things. And so it's really, really important for us that we build up our relationship with him and we see it as a constant thing and we're always mindful of what he is doing and what he wants to say to us. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much. I want to pray really quickly. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you that you have made a way for us to have communication with you, that you've made it possible for us to come directly to you and have fellowship with you and have a relationship with you. Father, I thank you we don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through any man to get to you. Father, I thank you that all we have to do is go through Jesus. And I thank you for the way that you've made for us. Father, I ask you to help us to continue to build our relationship with you and to continue to build our communication and to always be mindful throughout our day that you're with us and that you're ready to talk to us and that you're there to help us. And Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.